And I am Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Wednesday, September the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And we're going to be talking about love on this day. By the way, a little housekeeping task. If you would like to take a look at Facebook or what we have up on YouTube or Twitter, just go to our new website, PastorTomBaker.com. And you'll see on that one page a lot of things you can get a hold of, products, become part of a membership site. At the bottom of the page is Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, PastorTomBaker.com. But we're going to be talking about love. Do you love? Well, the problem with the word love is man has one definition of it and God has another definition. For example, Friedrich Nietzsche said, "It's not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriages." Well, you see how he puts friendship above love? No. You may not have a happy marriage, but Jesus did not have a happy relationship with his disciples at all times, but he still loves them. And he died for them. And that was because he is motivated by love. So understanding what love is more important than understanding what friendship is. For example, Neil Gaiman, he writes, "Have you ever been in love? Horrible, isn't it? It makes you so vulnerable. It opens your chest and it opens your heart. And it means that someone can get inside you and mess you up." You know, I feel sorry for him because he has quite a wrong view of what true love is. Because true love, yes, it opens your heart. But when you really have the kind of love that God is speaking about, then you feel bad when you break a heart. Bob Marley wrote something really good. He was talking about marriage. "If she loves you now, what else matters? She's not perfect. You aren't either. And the two of you may never be perfect together. But if she can make you laugh, cause you to think twice, admit to being human and making mistakes, hold on to her and give her the most you can. She may not be thinking about you every second of the day, but she will give you a part of her that she knows you can break, her heart. So don't hurt her. Don't change her. Don't analyze and don't expect more than she can give. Smile when she makes you happy. Let her know when she makes you mad. And miss her when she's not there." I think that's one of the biggest things about love. Have you had children who have died, or a spouse who has died, or a mother or father who has died? What happens? You miss them. You miss them deeply. And that's because there is a love there. A love where you don't feel fulfilled unless that other person is there. But we really have some odd views on love. For example, just coming to the radio station, I listened to the news, and there were three items that talked about love, and every one of them was wrong. Now, Duck Dynasty was being interviewed by Hannity, and the Duck Dynasty, the gentleman Phil, who is well known as the patriarch of the family, he's just written a new book, but he quotes the Bible all the time. And the quote he used from the Psalms was that those who practice evil love death. And we're seeing that with ISIS overseas. Killing people, beheading them, all kinds of things going on. They love death because they have a God that says, "I will reward you when you kill the infidels." And so with that kind of motivation, they love death. That's not the kind of love God's talking about. Then I was listening to Glenn Beck, began his program. Boy, I love it. The kids are going back to school. Well, that's Yeah, I'm sure that was tongue-in-cheek. But how many parents kind of enjoyed the time when, oh, they're finally out of the house? You know, a little time for relaxation. But is that what God means by love? No, I think a better synonym there would have been, I sure appreciate it that I can have some time to myself when the kids go back to school. Then on the news, here in St. Louis, there's a Roman Catholic school, and they just fired two of their teachers because they were lesbians. And there's a huge outcry. People are saying, don't give any money to the school. But it's a Roman Catholic school. And it was very clear when they were hired that unbiblical practices and a lifestyle contrary to the Word of God would not be tolerated, especially by teachers. In fact, one of the lessons for this coming Sunday, which is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus talks about we need to become like little children. But in verse 6, he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. So when you have homosexuals or lesbians telling children that that lifestyle is okay, and they begin to think that way, you are causing them to sin. That is an offense against Almighty God. But we ought not be surprised that these women are protesting it, because when you live a life of immorality, you don't really care what you signed when you became teachers, namely that you ought not be living that kind of a lifestyle, especially if you're teaching at a Roman Catholic school. See, they think they love each other, but their love is not the proper kind of love in the Bible. How do I know this? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. And the verse that is in the epistle for this coming Sunday is Romans 13, verse 10. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, there's two ways to understand every Bible verse: the wrong way and the right way. And the way I like to put it theologically, the wrong way is by living under the law. The right way is by living under the gospel. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's really kind of dissect that right now. To live under the law means that what you do is really important. In fact, every religion in the world is a law religion outside of Christianity that teaches what you do, what you think, what you say, what you pray, what you sacrifice, etc., etc., etc. That is what is going to get you to heaven. So for them, here's how they understand the word love. Love, if you do something out of love, that's fulfilling the law. So they look to their motivation. Therefore, radical Muslims believe that they're loving God when they kill infidels, when they slaughter them, when they murder them. And of course, in the context of immoral behavior, such as abortion, homosexuality, people actually think that they're showing love by participating in those items. Because who wants an unwanted child? And if you have real feelings towards somebody else, it doesn't matter if they're the same gender. But let's look closely at this Romans 13 passage, because Scripture interprets Scripture. Is it correct to say that as long as your motivation is love, that is what is fulfilling the law? I was watching, you know, they have a lengthy number of series of Law and Order on television. And I like taping them ahead of time because I hate looking at commercials. So I had like five of them taped last night. I can see each one, you know, going through the commercials and some of the bad parts of the hour. I see it in about 30 minutes, a whole hour program. But they had one on last night I found real interesting. A woman was killed, and they found out that she was the mistress of a prosecuting attorney. And he was really upset that she died because he loved her. That's what he said. But don't tell my wife, because I don't want to hurt her. It's This is what the world is thinking. If I have an affinity for someone where I get to love them, then whatever I do, that's okay. And he was trying to justify his behavior, which is really quite ridiculous. Just because he had the motivation of love, could he do that? What does it mean that love is the fulfilling of the law? Well, what it's talking about, and this is Romans 13:10, is we need to understand it in this way. Do you want to really show love? Then you fulfill the law. And the word law there is nomos, which is what we talk about in law and gospel. God has set up commandments. Now, just in case it's not the commandments that God is talking about, all you have to do is read the entire verse. And you'll find very quickly, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When you cheat on your spouse, you are doing wrong to a neighbor. And if that doesn't convince you, then listen to verse 9. Well, no, let me go back to verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So we still need to know, well, wait a minute. Is it just the motivation of love that fulfills the law? No. Verse 9 explains. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, God set up commandments in order to help us understand what true love is. When you break any of the commandments, that is an act of love, regardless of what you think your motivation is. This is why we almost sin in all that we do, because it is impossible. We're not like Jesus. We cannot exhibit and demonstrate perfect love. We fall short of the glory of God. And in fact, true love can only be done by a Christian. What? How can you say that? I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't Christian who do loving acts. Well, what is a loving act? It's fulfilling a commandment, but not outwardly. For example, an atheist, and I've used this many a time, maybe driving down the street, or he has to pay his taxes, and he stays under the speed limit, and he pays his taxes. Is that a loving act? No, it's an obedient act to the outwardness of the law, because his motivation is sinful. Well, what do you mean? How can you judge somebody's motivation? I'm not judging. I'm simply saying that there's only one kind of work that God considers as appropriate. And it's not even called a good work in the Bible. It's called a fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Staying under the speed limit, paying your taxes out of love for Jesus Christ. Now, that motivation may not be obvious in you, but because you now have a new Adam, you begin to have a motivation in doing good works that go beyond just obeying them outwardly. You actually obey them inwardly. And if you take a look at Matthew chapter 25, the distinction between the sheep and the goats, guess what? The sheep are those who do fruit of the Holy Spirit. The goats are those who only do good works. Because both a goat and a sheep can visit somebody in prison, but the goat is doing so out of a selfish reason. It makes him feel good, or he thinks he's doing a good deed. Now, this concept of love, if you want to talk about it, the numbers here in St. Louis are 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. That's 821-0850, or Long distance, toll-free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So it says very clearly here in Romans chapter 13, the answer is not answering the question, how do I fulfill the law? Well, you love. No. The question that's being answered by Paul is, how do I love? And the answer is, you fulfill the law, which means you obey it with a Christ-motivated heart. And apart from that, it's really impossible to show love. There's a number of Greek words for the word love. The one is phileia, where we get Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. So somebody who's drunk may come to your front door, knock on, and ask for money. You'll tend not to give it to them unless it's your brother. Because of the close relationship we have with family members, we will tend to give it to the brother, even though we won't give it to a stranger. That's brotherly love. Then there's eros, E-R-O-S, where we get the word erotic, where that is a love that you do just to make you feel good. By the way, that's never used in the Bible. The only other word used beside phileo is agape, found in the most famous Bible verse there is, for God so loved the world. Agape is this understanding that you're willing to love something or do something while you're going to have to suffer for it. That's why in a marriage, Paul talks about in Ephesians that the husband is to the wife like Christ was to the church. In other words, he's willing to die for the wife, and the wife is to the husband as the church is to Christ, obeying in areas where God's word is really clear. So, for example, if we want to buy a kind of cereal when we go to the grocery store, my wife Louise does not have to buy the cereal I tell her to buy. She may like a different kind of cereal. I'd have to find the name of that cereal in the Bible for her to have to obey me. But if when we had children, now this never happened, not with Louise, but let's say she did not want to baptize the children. No way. The scriptures are very clear. This is a way of making sure that they have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. So she would then obey me in baptizing the children. But in most matters that we deal with, the husband is to give in to the wife because he's like Jesus to the church. See, that's what love is. And that's simply not understood by the world. No. So what word is being used where it says love is the fulfilling of the law? Well, guess what? It certainly isn't eros, erotic, because that's never used in the Bible. And it's not phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. We don't care for someone because we have a good relationship with him. No, the word love here is agape. It's that unselfish love where you might have to suffer in order to fulfill the commandment. In fact, every time you fulfill a law, you do suffer. That's just automatic. Well, how can I say that? Because you're putting down your old Adam that doesn't want to obey the law. The old Adam never wants to obey the law. So we're talking about love here. 8210850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Linda.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
We think of love as a verb. And the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 8, speaks of love as a noun. It is, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God, person, place, or thing, he is love.
You have in that verse the word love both as a verb and a noun, right?
Well, on our part, it sounds like a verb, but see, it is Actually, the verb in our situation is our repentance. And then God's love shows forth. You know, because there are situations, Pastor, where it is impossible for us to love someone. They have done so much to hurt the church or whatever. And then suddenly you find this, you pray and you repent of you're not being able to love that person, and then suddenly there's this love that is not from you. It's God. God is love, and it's Him coming forth and Him helping you to love. And to, you know, if we look at the commandments, they can never, like you say, what do you call it? You were saying the word a while ago.
Be fulfilled by us perfectly.
We cannot.
Yes.
They don't motivate us. That's what it is. Motivate us. They cannot. Yeah, the commandments cannot.
What I meant by the word love, verb, is the first time it's a verb. Anyone who does not love, that's a verb. Mm-hmm. Does not know God because God is love, then that's a noun.
But see, it is in knowing Him. See,
yes.
And the way it speaks it, it's like, if you don't know Him, you don't even know how to love at all.
That's the point I'm trying to make. That,
yeah.
I said that when I said only Christians can love.
Yes, and only as we repent. It's not my trying to love, because I can try all day. And there's, like I said, we have such imperfect, if we're looking at a set of, like the commandments, and saying, well, I should do this, then the flesh just rears its head, and I'm trying too hard, and I can't, and I have to be shown that I cannot do this, and only Jesus, I live, you know, I am crucified with Him.
But your new man can love, so you can love perfectly.
In Christ.
Yes, but that's your new man.
That's,
I mean, you actually do loving actions.
Uh-huh.
Anytime you go to somebody and talk to them about the message of Jesus Christ, we had just before my program in the devotion, I had the pastor talking about what witnessing is. He says, you know, witnessing is not just simply telling somebody about Jesus, but getting them involved in the church, inviting them to the church, because it's through the means of grace that they're going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent point. And we do that with people that we may not particularly prefer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why love is done by the new man, but at the same time, the old Adam is sinning in the way that it is loving.
Yes, we're still capable of not loving.
Yes, yeah.
Even though we are a Christian.
Well, we're like Paul in Romans 7. The things I want to do, I'm unable to do. The things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing.
And, you know, when I can't love, I need to get back to my foundation. That's where I'm messing up. I need to get back to the cross.
Well said. And that's the cross. Yes. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. Boy, is she ever right on that. That's why we're theologians of the cross. Theologians of self-glory, we are not. What does that mean? Well, a theologian of self-glory looks at experience, decides what to like, what not to like, calls it love, and regardless of what God's will is, they think they're loving. And I gave examples of where, you know, radical Muslims love death. Sometimes we talk about, oh, our kids are finally back in school. We love that. And then the two women who have been fired by the Roman Catholic school because of their lifestyle, which is unbiblical. Now, you see, the school is doing the loving action there. Why? Well, that's right out of the Bible. In fact, it's the Old Testament reading for this Sunday, 13th Sunday after Pentecost, Ezekiel 33. Listen to this. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. So sometimes you have to say, even to people that appear to be in a loving relationship, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. because you are a watchman for the house of Israel. I mean, there is so much in these three readings. I could do like six sermons. And I'll tell you, I am preaching this Sunday at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet. If you want to hear me, it's Saturday at 5 o'clock, and then Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and then after the Bible study, about 10:30 for the second service. And I'm not going to talk about any of the things that I talked about. The verse I'm going to be looking at is Matthew 18. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Now, these are words of Jesus. Do they make any sense to you? Do you see all the problems that a person would have if they believe what he was saying? Then why does he say that? It's what we're going to be preaching about at Emmanuel. And tomorrow we're going to take a look with Wes Reimnitz on how some secular views can be helpful in Bible study.
On Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.